Steve and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about what does Jill's transaction coordinator really do? I can't wait to hear the answer to this big picture and hopefully detailed picture.
Oh my goodness.
Because I've always wondered this too. No. It's, and all kidding aside, this is one of the most important positions that you can ever hire for.
Correct.
And it's a position that Jill, I've had for years in my own company. Jill's had it in her own company.
You held the position? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Even now we have to jump back in if there's too much deal flow. And we're all transaction coordinators till the end.
Mm-hmm.
So
I just took a call with a broker, as a matter of fact.
I know, I caught the tail of that because we're setting up to record, and I think that's a perfect way to talk about this when we get into it.
The main point here is this came up because of a Facebook post. Someone was asking me, like, Jill, I'm hiring. You have talked about in the past the trials and tribulations of hiring the right person. Okay, that's great. We got that. Now, what exactly do they do? And as I was writing this Facebook post, and I'll share more when we get into the show, I had a little revelation that I should have a thank you to them. So I'm sending my number one gal a heartfelt thank you, because I realize you wear a lot of hats and I really appreciate all that you do. And I sincerely was making sure, are you happy? Do you need anything? You know, what's going on in your world? It was good.
Before we get into it, though, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landinvestors.com online community. It's free.
Greg asked, most of my deals have been self-close, and I like that because, number one, it's cheap. Number two, it's fast. Number three, I'm in control in the process.
Amen.
I've read the guidelines about dollar value and using title for higher dollar properties. Some people want title insurance, or just a close-through title because it makes them feel better. And some are okay with just wiring thousands of dollars and skipping the cost and the time. So my question is, can I buy with a self-close because I like that, and then sell either self-close or through title depending on what the buyer wants or needs? Is there something wrong with this? I did this on one deal already with zero trouble, but my impression was that this was frowned upon or not even possible in some places. Any thoughts on this? I say I have thoughts.
I have a lot of thoughts too. Jill's closer to the front lines than I am, so go ahead.
I thought you were going to say closer to the mic at that moment.
No.
Jill's closer to the line of fire at that moment right now. No. I love this. I see nothing wrong with this, and I do this all the time as well. Especially, I find myself doing this when there's some really good deals that you just can't let them get away real quick. You can buy and self-close and even get title insurance after the fact. So there's lots of different scenarios. Let me back up and explain this here. What is self-close? That is like buying a car without a dealer. It's like me going on OfferUp or Craigslist, buying the car from you, Jack, and getting my insurance and doing the paperwork with the DMV and all that stuff.
Great
later.
Way to explain this.
Thank you. Because that's exactly what it is. I buy it, you sign the paper to me, nobody knows it. The DMV doesn't know it yet. My insurance company doesn't know it yet. I just hand you, you know, $5,000, you hand me a pink slip, I walk away. It's the same thing. Now, after the fact, I'm gonna go to the DMV, I'm gonna put it in my name, I'm gonna let my insurance company know, make it all official. So that's kind of like a self-close, is I buy a property like that. I'm going to, maybe most of the time, I'm preparing the deed, I'm sending a notary with a cashier's check, I buy it from the seller signs it, walks over with the cashier's check, it's easy, it's fast. And then later on, then I go, right, and get it recorded with the county. If I want to take it a step further, I can also get title insurance after that. Usually, this is all personal preference, by the way. Usually what I do then is, depending on the property and what I'm marketing it for, I may, and I like your way. I like your thoughts here, Greg. I'm just going to answer your question. I love what you're doing. I like your idea and your thoughts on just making it optional to your buyer. Here's a scoop. If you want me to just pass it on to you, I sure can make it fast and easy. We don't have to pay for this because typically, too, all you're going to do is camp on it and fish on it and love it, and you're not going to build on it. So we all know the chances of like needing tile insurance are not great because you're not going to take a loan on it or things like that. That's why people would want tile insurance. So, and I love your thing. Let's just make it optional. What would you like to add?
Back when there were cowboys, this is the only way you ever did a deal. Mm-hmm. This advent of title insurance and escrow and all that stuff was, you know, people getting in the way. There's a long history of people in this country wanting to get their hands on your real estate deal. And this is just another example. So do you have, you can do this anytime you want. I've done it with $100,000 properties without any issues. But I'll tell you, it can catch up with you because what you're doing technically in some people's minds is creating a cloud in the title, and a cloud in the chain of title. So people believe, especially with more expensive property, that you need title insurance. And some people are, it's a big debate, and I don't know. I've bought property just like this, exactly like you're saying, and then I've sold it through the escrow process, rightfully so. People want to, maybe they want to build on it. There's a lot of reasons for that. They're all legit, actually. The correct escrow agent, when you go to sell it, will require affidavits and things like that. For me, the person who bought it without title insurance, without escrow, and most of the time, probably 8 times out of 10, you sign the stuff, you send it back in, everybody's happy, they go get title insurance, and it's everything's done. There are old school escrow agents that won't allow this. So if that happens, if you buy a piece of property for $5,000 or $10,000 and then you go to sell it for $40,000, buyer wants title insurance, and you go to a title agent and they say, no way, this is not how we do it, go to another title agent.
Not to cloud the conversation. We're talking about clouds here a lot. I would like to add that we have had title agents come to us down the road when we have, say, I've self-closed on the buy side.
Years down the road.
Uh-huh. And self-closed on the sell side. And then somewhere down the road, someone's getting title insurance. Does it negate everything? Does it mean that none of this was legit? Absolutely not. All that they've said is, hey, I just need you to sign this paperwork for my file, that's how the transaction went down. Done.
You know, I later this week, I'm going to talk about the 4 types of real estate companies you can create through land. You know, and one of them is inexpensive desert type property, or very, very rural inexpensive property. And if you choose that type of business to be in, and a lot of people do, that's how I started. You do every single deal this way. You buy it and sell it this way, and nobody talks about it. If you choose to do infill lots that you know are, and you're targeting your buyer as a developer who's going to build a house on it, then why go through the hassle? You should close every single deal with title insurance and an escrow agent. So it's really the product type that yields this. That didn't get discussed here. It's the product type that yields this type of decision.
I agree.
Thank God. I was worried.
One of us has to stop. Pull the plug.
What do you mean?
Like, we could talk about this for a very long time. That's my whole point, and then never get to the show.
Today's topic, what does Jill's transaction coordinator really do? This is the meat of the show.
You know what's funny? With a title like that, and the way that it's worded almost sounds like, what does she do? Like she's just painting her nails all day, maybe answering a few phone calls, that kind of a thing. That is not the case at all. And I'm really happy to share this. This, again, I was saying, came to me, and I apologize, I can't remember your name. I will look it up later and let you know we did the show on this, but you probably listened. Came to me in our Facebook group. It's Real Estate Investing Land Academy is what it's called, in parentheses. And they said, hey, Jill, you know, you talk about the trial, like I said, the trials and tribulations, what's involved, and how hard it has been. It's taken you 5 years to find the right person to be your transaction coordinator, your lead transaction coordinator. What do they do? So this is a rather long list. I will try not to get into great detail.
Why? I think we should totally get into detail.
Well, then you can ask
people are here.
Okay.
People are here to learn about real estate.
Okay.
I think you should get in as much detail as you'd like.
Okay. So the number one person is responsible for many things. And when they're starting out, they're doing all of those things. As time goes on, they outsource some of the roles, but I'm going to give you the whole thing. So in the beginning, my number one person was responsible for first fielding all the inbound calls from all the offers that we sent out. There was no negotiating. That was a really good question that somebody brought up in Facebook. Do they negotiate these deals? No, they don't. They are just to collect the information, smooth talk them, try to get all the purchase agreements they can in, let everybody know who we are, make them feel good about wanting to sell to us, and then put it in the system. We currently use Airtable, and then alert me that I have deals to review. From there, I go in and look at the deals, and I'm gonna either green light it right away. You do this too. This is not just me, obviously, but now you have been working on other projects a little bit more, but I'm gonna use me as an example. When I use, when I say me, it's often us.
No, you can say me. Oh. I mean, you can say you.
Okay. So
I have to do it. I did it for years and years. It's, you know, just making a decision on it.
Right.
I love the deal. I hate the deal. Or it, more often what happens is...
I have questions.
Well, yeah, I have questions or I love it at 30,000, not at 40.
Right. And we'll get to that too in a minute, because I don't have my people doing that yet, because it's a certain, that's a really different talent. And what she does is already a lot. Okay. So the deal comes to me. It's a signed purchase agreement. I look at it. I love it. I hate it. Or I have questions. And that's what I tell her. I love it. Do it. So these are the three things. I love it. Do it. Open escrow. Let's go. And she then from there, I'll do each one individually. From there, we'll take it all the way through. She will open escrow. If I don't have an escrow agent in that particular area or state, she will make the phone calls and find one and source one and handles everything to do with the escrow, except for when it comes to wiring the money and signing the documents. She's that good. She has an escrow background. She is on Team Jack and Jill. So she always looks for us and makes sure that the numbers are correct. That's an important piece there. You don't want a transaction coordinator that's just going to blindly accept whatever escrow sends to them. You need someone on your team that says, that number's not right. We did one two times ago, and why are you charging me double this time for the situation? And usually it's an oops, and you just need someone that's gonna catch those things. So she follows it all the way through. She maintains contact with the seller and escrow and makes sure that it's gonna close, makes sure everybody's on the same page, makes sure everybody's getting what they need, and I just have to pretty much show up and sign. And as a side note, she's also a notary. So she's my in-house notary, so that takes a lot of the work out and the timing out. We just arrange when we're going to be in the same time and the place to sign. So that's situation number one on the buy side. Number two, she... Am I going into too deep much detail? Or are you
no,
liking this?
I love this.
Okay.
I'm actually taking notes.
Okay.
Because there's some changes that I want to make and some stuff that I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
That's the truth of it.
Okay. So then the second one is, I hate it. Doesn't matter what price is, we're walking. And usually it's because of access or there's some fatal flaw. You know, it really is this, not only can we not get to it, there's a locked gate at the top, there's a locked gate at the bottom, and it's a side of a cliff, and the slope is 80%. Like, I'm not into mountain climbing property. I think this is great for somebody who might be. My time is too valuable right now, our time. We don't do rock climber properties. And what's funny is, once upon a time, we would. I would take darn near any property for the right price, and because that would solve whatever the flaw was. Nowadays, we don't. So I'd just send a nice note back, and we communicate all this. We use Airtable. We're not even talking. It's not like we're even having meetings. I go in, I look at it, I leave a note back for her saying, not going to happen. Here's the reason why. Thank you very much. And she updates our file. It moves it off my list for both of us, and we walk, and that's it. And then the third scenario is I have questions, and it could be things like, I see it. I've done all my work. I'm on the fence right here. Price-wise, can I get a couple brokers' opinions? And she will do that for me. She knows how to go in the area, make some calls, get a couple broker opinions. That will help me with the decision. Or I'll come back with, I'm not sure it's buildable. I see this lot. It's a pretty small lot. I'm looking what the neighbors are doing. I'm not sure if the setback will work here. Can you make a couple call, find out what the zoning is, what's possible, is it buildable, things like that. So that's, and then there's other scenarios like access. I might even have one where, gosh, we can all see that there's legal access. That's obvious. We can tell there's a road there. I can't really tell if there's legal access. At the price I'm doing this property, I want both. So I'll send her a note. And then she'll go in and solve these. And it's either, she'll make the calls. It's either communicating with the seller sometimes, communicating with the county sometimes, or both. And then she'll leave me the notes, and then I make a decision. So that's pretty much everything. And then, of course, based on that, we open escrow. She does her usual, and now we own it. Her job's not done yet. Do you have any questions on the buy side? Do you want me to keep going?
I think you should keep going.
Okay. One of the things, too, that she does, I want to give a good little tip for people in my world, which is all of you, is there's things throughout the process that she alerts my sales team. I have a separate team that does the posting and the pictures and things like that. One of the things that she does is alerts them at a certain point. Usually for me, it's like 10 days into escrow, right? And we've been tweaking that right now, but right now that's our number. When we've been in escrow 10 days, we're all feeling great about this deal. We know we're buying it. This is an escrow. Most of mine are escrow transactions right now. She's alerting my team, get the photographer out there and get a drone shot. So that way they're ready. It takes them a couple days to get that scheduled, done, and back, and they're starting to build out the posting. The goal here is when I close escrow on the buy side, the posting's beautiful, written, ready to go, push a button, get it sold, everyone. And sometimes it happens really fast. So now we're on the sell side. So next thing you know, we have a buyer. My sales team communicates directly with my transaction coordinator that we've got a buyer, it's the price we all want. If it's not the price we all want, they're gonna tell her, we have a buyer, here's their offer, and she'll let me know. She will then, it'll go into our system, right into Airtable. She will alert me to look at it. Here's the offer, what do you think? I'm a yay or a nay, and then it's handled. And then often it's a yay, let's just say. It's within reason, you know, we all know there's little, you know, nuances there, but her job is to communicate, keep that going. I never really talk to the seller or the buyer. And then from there, she reopens escrow, usually with the same company that I bought it from. We make a point to do that because it's always faster and easier and cheaper. And she follows it all the way through. And the only thing I have to do, again, is show up and sign. You like that?
Yeah. I mean, here's some helpful hints about transaction coordinators that I've learned over 25 years of doing this. I've had, I don't know, I can't even count the number of transaction coordinators that I've had, including starting with myself as a one-man, one-person show. I've never had a transaction coordinator who was a male that worked out. This is a very detail-oriented position. There's a lot of paperwork involved. And the perfect deal would go like this, just like Jill said. The deal comes in, purchase agreement comes in, all the information gets input. Jill spends, I don't know, 30 seconds looking at all the information in the CRM, decides that it's a good deal. This is a perfect deal now. Decides that it's a good deal and says, yes, let's buy it. You don't hear from the transaction coordinator. Nobody discusses it. There's no talking at all. It gets purchased. Jill signs everything, hopefully online these days. And then all the stuff that is involved in selling it and getting it online and making it available to the public is done. We still don't hear anything. Jill approves it, or maybe at this point probably doesn't approve it because there's a level of trust established. They've worked here long enough. And at the point where it gets sold, you sign everything. Or you just approve the price. So if you're doing everything right and you really have a Jedi scenario with your transaction coordinator, your involvement in a real estate transaction is less than 30 minutes from start to finish.
True.
That's perfect. Does not include counting the money. Because that's what they're there for. Let's all be straight about this. It's truth time. Mm-hmm. You know, she's there or he's there. No, hopefully she is there to make you money.
You're 100% correct on that male-female thing. It's funny.
So number two, I have never had a transaction coordinator who has worked out in the long run who hasn't been an escrow agent in a past life. That mentality. So when you, if it's time for you to go find a transaction coordinator, look in the pool of disgruntled. There's a ton. Hey, look, escrow agents are grossly underpaid for what they do and grossly overworked. And so the one that Jill has right now is elated. That she...
Here's what you do. Go to the Facebook group called Disgruntled Escrow Agents. Disgruntled former escrow agents.
There's a lot.
There's thousands of them. And find the one that you connect with the best.
So here's the thing, though. Again, truth time. Not a lot of them work independently. A lot of escrow agents choose that role because they have they're in an office with other people just like them, and they're, you know, they actually enjoy that. They have a supervisor. When some stuff goes sideways, they can check with their peers. They can check with the super. That's not you. You don't want that type of person. You want a total self-starting, free-thinking, can manage their time all day type of personality. So I can't express this enough. This is a really tough position to fill. And once you fill it, your net income should times four. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully they're good enough to start getting people under them so they can start shoving up.
That's the point.
I've had two, not this one yet, but she will get there, where they have come to me for, you know, daily and saying, hey, I'm too busy. I can't do the process paperwork part of this. I can do the phone part. Phone part's really important in my opinion because it's basically replacing you with the seller. And there's a sales component to this and a huge paperwork organization component. And those two things usually don't come with one personality. They do with Jill. And honestly, they do with me. I can get through it. It's just not very fun.
Yeah, I was going to say to you a couple of things. We have it down so well. We started out that way. You're going to know pretty early on. You're going to click or you won't. And this individual and I have it down so well that I feel bad that we don't talk. We will go for days without speaking. And so sometimes I just call her to say hi. Because I feel bad. You know, it's so funny. And it's interesting because she has always worked in an office. And she, when the COVID came, she had been wanting to work remotely and from home anyway. So it was a perfect fit for me and for her. And I love it. It's just the funniest thing, though. I feel bad sometimes. I'm like, are you lonely? Can I send you some lunch or some treats? You know, I know you're working hard over there. It's cute.
Yeah, I mean, the perfect candidate's going to be a little bit smarter than you about deals. Not about mailers, not about running a company, but a little bit smarter while reading a HUD 1 or a closing statement at the end and saying, you know, this doesn't look right.
Yep.
And we really should take a look at it and see why. And
excellent.
That's the kind of person you want.
Excellent. And that's what she's got, because she is a former escrow agent. She knows the lingo. That's the part that got me. She knew a lot. She taught me things like escrow agents all have a secret phone number. Not kidding.
Oh,
I
really?
Didn't know that. I did not know
well,
that.
Tell us about that. Yeah. That's what this show's
I'll
about.
I'll tell you right now.
I'm learning stuff. Hold on. I'm writing this down.
Every escrow agent has a secret bat line that they do not share with anyone.
This is a show,
but
Jill.
Very few people. And she told me one time, don't worry about it. I got Marcia's bat line. I'm like, what the heck? I came up with the bat line. She just called it the secret phone number. I'm like, this is awesome.
So what do you have to do to get that phone number? You have to befriend them.
Yeah, and be in the club. You have to. And here's another tip. It's one time. This is like one time at band camp. That's what it sounds like.
Band camp?
That's what it sounds like. All right. One time. If you know me, I try very hard to be sweet. I'm always going to go at things a sweet way. But there are times I get pushed over the edge and I get mad. Well, I have gotten mad at escrow agents before. And it's really because they're not paying attention to detail. Like, and after the first time, I'm okay. Second time, maybe. Third time, now it's stupid. Fourth time, now I'm pissed when they're making the same mistake over and over again because they're just frazzled and they have too much going on is usually what happens. So we had to go back one time. We went back to a former escrow agent that we were never going to use again, but we were kind of forced to because it was the only way I can get the deal done quickly because they had done it on the buy side. And I knew it going into it. And it was so funny because my transaction coordinator had to tell the other person that they promised that I would not get on the phone and I would not yell at them.
You know how many times somebody said that to me in my life? If you're involved in this, it's not going to work.
I'm like, I won't call them. I won't call them. Yeah. I promise. And then my transaction coordinator was going along. Everything's sweet until the end. And guess what? The same agent pulled it with my person. And my person said, Jill, you're right. Now I'm doing it. That was so funny. Anyway.
I had a music teacher a long time ago tell us that if you make a mistake two or three times, now you're practicing it, and it's like 10 times as hard to undo that.
Correct.
Doing it right the first time, when it's something that's mechanical, is you have to do it that way.
Yep.
I'm not saying don't fail or make mistakes. I'm just saying all it takes is 5 extra seconds to really just look at it. And then you got to undo it and unpractice it. It's terrible. It's like sanding against the grain.
Do you know that's my love language?
No, let's talk about this. I'd love to know more about this.
My love language is this. Jill, I made sure to the best of my ability, this is perfect. Here you go. That's my love language. Not, I threw it together. Here you go. Yeah. And I'm correcting your
work. Which is like, that's what men do.
Thank you.
Men slap stuff together and say, please figure it out.
That's why I'm using this podcast right now as an opportunity to let you know that really is my love language. FYI.
Hey,
men everywhere, try this. See how well this does.
Give us an example of what men should do.
I'll give you an example. Let me think here. You're going to help out with travel arrangements. And you know how picky your wife is about seating and flight schedules. She doesn't want to do it. She never wants a 6 a.m. flight, and she never wants a middle seat. That's important to her. And she has a lot on her plate. So you're going to take over the family vacation travel arrangements. Take it to the extra level. Make it a 10 a.m. flight. Make it the right days so we can get the right seating arrangements. Make sure it's if there's a layover, Howard, if it's the things that you know that she appreciates. And maybe even if you really want to take it to the next level, get her into the American Express Platinum Club. Pay for the one-day membership. Make it really sweet. Maybe just for her, there's an extra thing. You and the kids can go get some food and let her go have a glass of wine if you really want this to go swell. That's an example of, you know, taking that extra little step.
What if she's a real angry person and never going to appreciate anything like that?
She'll be
that's
drunk.
Half the men on this listening to this are saying, yeah, I'd do that, but she's just an angry person. And
aww. It's hard to be, I have a hard time being mad when you're drinking wine.
All right. You got to have some positive outcome from, direct positive outcome for doing stuff
like
that. There
we go. That's even another one.
Here, now I'm speaking to the women. If somebody's bright enough to do this for you, there has to be an almost immediate, this is how men are.
Okay.
An almost immediate positive outcome. You know.
That's not wrong.
A lot of people will take this type of favor or a positive thing and just say, well, what, you should be doing this every single time, more often than not, instead of a big, huge hug saying, oh my God, you're the greatest guy in the world, and thank you so much. I will return the favor sometime on the trip.
It's very hard for women to know when men are really going out of their comfort zone or not unless you tell us. I'll be really honest. If you say, this is not how I roll, I hate to say it. So maybe there's something you have to learn. This is sounding like Jack and Jill Counseling Hour.
It sounds like the Jack and Jill Show.
Went from transaction coordinator to couples counseling. It's hard.
Somebody said in our YouTube comment recently,
oh no,
you're an inspiration to couples everywhere. And I said, I didn't say anything, but I'm like, wow, if you actually really knew what the Jack and Jill Show is really going to cover. I hope they can retract that someday. Anyway, thanks. Go ahead.
It's hard for us to know, because it comes naturally to us as moms and wives and such, to we want to give, spend the extra time, cut your sandwich, I'm not kidding, put a pickle on your plate. At least that's how I was raised. I want to do that. And it's natural to me.
Sweetheart.
If you do that to me, I would go, yippee-ki-yay.
You are the exception to all of this, and I'm not trying to swoon you here. Okay. You're not the first woman I've ever gone down any path with in any way. You're the last one, in fact.
Okay.
And the vast majority, if not every single other one, is not cutting sandwiches and feeling good about it.
Okay.
What they are is cutting a sandwich saying, I really, really wish I was at a fashion show or in a spa instead of this. This is ridiculous. I do most of the work. He doesn't do anything. and just paying the bills is long not enough. I hate to break it to you.
All right. I thought, you know what, it's better than what I thought you were going to say. As I'm cutting the sandwich, I'm like, I'll give you your flippant sandwich.
Oh, that's about it. No. I was softening it. That's actually really accurate.
You want to see me with a knife? What? Put a sharp object in my hand later on. If I were you, I would hide all these knives.
So my question is, and it won't get answered here, like, how do you come back from that? You know, how do you know? I'm speaking on behalf of men now. How do you know if that's a personality flaw, that how this person has behaved like this for so long, that first class seat or the American Express lounge thing, it's not going to be welcomed the way it should. It's not going to be responded to the way it should.
Okay.
Or, you know what, I'll tell you what's going to happen too. This doesn't happen with us ever. She's going to say, why are you spending money on this? Because all their money's commingled. That's going to happen. Vast majority of the time. Why don't you ask me to do this?
I you know, here's the thing. As a woman.
This show's going to be, hey, listener, this show's twice as long. I'm actually having a family meeting right now, and you can either listen or not.
I can only speak for myself and my inner circle of friends. When I say this,
I can't wait to hear this.
Seriously, I am confused because I don't like those women also. So that's the reality. I know some of the women of which you speak. I know some of the women of which you have been married to before. I too have experienced these situations and this hurt and the darkness and the blackness that comes through.
The seeping blackness.
I get it. My only point here is give a girl a chance.
Okay, that's fair.
Thank you.
That's absolutely fair, Jill.
And then make a decision.
The only way to come back from that darkness is to hit a restart button. And everybody's got to do it at the same time. You know what I think is real tragic? Is I think that a lot of people define their relationship by its worst moment. You know, everybody's got bad moments, bad days, stuff happens. I don't care if it's at work or if you, God forbid, you work with your spouse like I do.
God forbid.
Some stuff happens.
That's loving.
Stuff happens. And I'll tell you, if I walked around or Jill walked around and said, you know, well, then defined consciously or subconsciously, defined our relationship by the three worst moments that there ever was, you know, it would be a mess. Instead, you know, I'm not saying get all hocus pocus self-helpish here and only look at the good times, not the bad times. If you know anything about me in this show, that's just not the case at all. I'd rather look at the worst time. But in a relationship, that's just not appropriate. You got to just look at the whole thing and say, you know what? We're all on the same page, going in the same direction. And she deserves first class. And maybe, you know what? Maybe you won't get a thank you. But it'll be one step in the right direction. And I really mean that.
I don't want to change anything. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Close this, Jill.
Happy you could join us today. 5 days a week, you can find us right here on The Land Academy Show.
Tomorrow, the episode on The Land Academy Show is called Does Deal Review Happen Before or After a Seller Commits or Signs a Purchase Agreement? You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
Okay, that was fun. Thank you for letting us use this time to better our relationship. And we hope that you too will better your relationship and find a deeper, loving understanding.
Could you imagine if I was really like that?
I'm sorry. I got to tell you. Look, I've been doing a lot of research lately and listening to a lot of other shows. And some people go down that path.
I know.
It's so interesting to me. I'm having a hard time.
The variance of podcasts.
I would really love to hear.
So would I.
You, friend, listener, I would love to hear your feedback. Because I'm torn. We clearly are unscripted. It's a conversation. We have a goal. A shiny goal for our topic. We don't always hit it, but we have a goal.
Shoot at it.
We do.
And we miss.
But some shows are, what they talk about is so different, obviously. And some of it's just, you can tell it's written and scripted. And the right person, though, it's delivered beautifully. So I am torn. I'm looking at doing other shows and things, and I would love to know if you like this crazy, free-flowing format, or if you like a little more scripted. I hope I'm not stepping on your toes.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not one bit. I think this I have listened to a lot of podcasts, a lot of different podcasts also. And what I concluded, and I did stop listening to them, is people know what they like when they hear it.
True. True. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you find our content valuable, and we appreciate your support. If you haven't already, please check out our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button.
And your comments and suggestions help us to create the type of content you're here for. Hitting the like button helps to support our channel's algorithm and gauge your interest for future shows.
We are Steve and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property and marital advice.